And I appreciate everybody's patience and letting us start a little bit late. Let's start, if we can, with roll call.
City of Cathedral City,
Here.
City of Coachella, Coachella Valley Water District, City of Desert Hot Springs,
Present.
Imperial Irrigation District, City of Indian Wells,
Present.
City of Indio, City of La Quinta,
Present.
Mission Springs Water District,
Present.
City of Palm Desert, City of Palm Springs, City of Rancho Mirage,
Here.
Riverside County First District, Riverside County Second District,
Here.
Riverside County Third District, Riverside County 4th District.
Here.
Here.
Oh, sorry. Riverside County 5th District.
Here.
Wow.
Chair, we have a quorum.
All
We go for
right.
our locals, cover our bases for
And
the county.
Ms. Ross is filling in on for the Riverside County 4th District today. So welcome. All right, we have our Pledge of Allegiance. If you'd please rise and face the flag. And everybody, ready? Begin.
And to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Anybody have any modifications to the agenda? None. None on your side? All right. Anybody have any conflict of interest in closing? Ms. Virgin made it in, so thank you. Any conflict of interest disclosures from anybody? All right. Public comments on agenda items. This is one of two opportunities for public comment. Anybody wishing to address the CVCC in anything appearing, not appearing on the agenda may do so at this time. Do we have any public comments?
Note that there are two written comments, emailed comments. I don't know if the authors will be speaking later, but it would be under items on not agenda items, agenda item number 7.
Oh.
Chair, we do have a hand raised in the virtual gallery. So we can
you
bring,
do? Okay.
Can you give them audio control, please.
Yes.
All right. You've got 3 minutes. Please identify yourself.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
All righty. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Yvette Zamora Cruz, and I started a business called Happy Worm, which is a vermicomposting educational initiative based here in Palm Springs. And I've been practicing vermicomposting for the past 3 years or so, going to schools, community events, libraries, and at home. So that's basically what inspired me to do vermicomposting as a business. First of all, I want to thank Peter for taking the time to respond to my email earlier this week. So I appreciate that, Peter. His response was thoughtful and in pointing me to good directions. So thank you again, Peter, for your response. Anyways, I am here today just to propose a simple question. Composting builds healthy soil, and healthy soil supports plants. Plants support wildlife, and wildlife is part of the natural world. And this commission, you know, that's the work to protect these lands. And I feel like that connection is important to me. And I would like to request some guidance from this commission on the best ways to spread the message in the Coachella Valley so that everyday residents understand that composting is an act of conservation. So if any of you here can point me in the right direction, I'm all ears and I'm ready to do the work. I can drop my contact information. And yeah, that's what I have for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if you'd please leave your contact information and we'll have the staff distribute it to the membership. And if you have ideas, reach out.
Thank you so much. And don't forget to compose, guys. Thank you.
Any other public comments? All right. Seeing none, any announcements from any of the commissioners? All right. On to our consent calendar. Number of items on the consent calendar. Does anybody wish to pull anything from the consent calendar?
Chair, sure, I need to pull A and abstain.
Which one?
A and abstain as I was not here.
Okay.
Move the balance.
Second the balance.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
I'm
and
hoping
one
that
extension from Coachella Valley Water or from Mission Springs Water District.
I'm hoping that the La Quinta Chevrolet Cadillac is one of the bid proposals for your potential truck purchase. By the way, I can introduce you to the owner.
I was rather shocked at the low price on that. I know that truck. I know. I like you got a great deal on that, so that's great. And we I'm looking forward to having it on. And I'm assuming that it'll you're going to get offer us rides in that. So okay, cool.
I can make a motion for item number A on consent.
Okay.
If we're doing that separate.
Yeah, you just wanted to abstain from it. Yeah,
the
way the motion was done, we do need a second motion.
Okay.
Yes.
So who has a second?
Motion for A.
All right, we have a motion and a second on the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
You opposed?
Aye.
The abstention. Have the abstention on it from MSWD. All right, nothing held over. Move on to our discussion and action items. As usual, we're buying some land. So we have one parcel in the Willow Hole Conservation Area. Our good friend Diana Rosas from CBMC is here to present that. Go ahead, Diana.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, commissioners. Again, Diana Rosas with the Cachao Valley Mountains Conservancy. I do want to apologize that I did not make the last month's meeting, but you were in great hands with our executive director, Elizabeth Keene. And I also want to thank Tom and all of you for supporting and approving the acquisition services manager contract for another year. I'm happy to report on what our team at the Conservancy has been working on to bring to your board today. So the first item is an acquisition of one parcel in the Willow Hole Conservation Area. Let me get organized here. The Willow Hole Conservation Area is one of the highest priority conservation areas identified in the plan. It plays a critical role as both a wildlife movement corridor and an active sand transport that supports the long-term viability of the Coachella Valley fringe-toed lizard and other sensitive species. The overall conservation area encompasses approximately 5,600 acres, and to date, we have conserved about 2,700 acres. The green shaded area on the map represent conserved lands to date. The proposed acquisition consists of assessor parcel number 660-310-016, located north of Interstate 10 in the city of Desert Hot Springs. The parcel totals approximately 5 acres and was appraised in March of 2026. The full vesting name of the property owner was also provided to you all. So hopefully you have no questions there, but if you do, I'm happy to answer those when I'm done with the report. The property contains important habitat resources, including habitat for Lacan's thrasher, round-tailed ground squirrel, and Palm Springs pocket mouse, as well as Sonoran mixed woody and succulent scrub communities. The purchase agreement remains contingent upon board approval and final title and escrow instructions. Staff inspections have already confirmed that there are no hazardous materials or dumping concerns on the property. As you can see on the photograph, the property is in great condition compared to others that we've recently acquired. Approval of this acquisition will help further the conservation objectives of the plan by protecting critical habitat, connectivity, and sand transport functions in perpetuity. That said, I recommend approval of resolution 2026-05, and I'm happy to answer any questions at this
time. Thank you, Diana. Anybody have any questions?
I have one. I think there's a minor correction. I think it's located in the city of Cathedral City.
Okay, I'll have to double check that, but thank you for that correction.
And it is a very rare piece of property with no dumping on it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, that picture right there is worth 1,000 words, right?
All right. Any further comments or questions? If not, we'll welcome Dr. Figueroa and we'll take a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. No further discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
You opposed? Abstention.
Me.
And we'll note that the city of Coachella has abstained on that one. All right, thank you. And one more, Diana. This is a parcel in the Indio Hill Joshua Tree National Park Linkage Conservation Area.
The clicker's not working.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you. The Indio Hills Joshua Tree National Park Linkage Conservation Area provides a critical biological corridor connecting the Indio Hills, Little San Bernardino Mountains, and Joshua Tree National Park, while also maintaining connectivity with desert tortoise populations to the east. The proposed acquisition consists of a assessor parcel number 647-200-0110, located north of Dillon Road in Indio Hills. The parcel totals approximately 10 acres and was appraised also in March of 2026. Following completion of due diligence, including title review and site inspections, my staff negotiated a purchase price of $70,000, which is consistent with other conservation acquisitions in the area. This conservation area supports important habitat for a number of covered and sensitive species, including the federally listed desert tortoise, Coachella Valley milkvetch, Mecca aster, Lacan's thrasher, round-tailed ground squirrel, and Palm Springs pocket mouse. In addition to wildlife connectivity, the area functions as a sand source and fluvial sand transport system supporting the original Coachella Valley fringe toad lizard preserve. The area also contributes to groundwater recharge, supporting oasis systems within the preserve, and plays an important role in regional biodiversity and climate resilience. Staff inspections confirmed that this property also had no dumping or hazardous materials concerns on the property, and the purchase agreement remains contingent upon board approval and final title and escrow requirements. Approval of this acquisition will further the conservation objectives of the plan by protecting important habitat connectivity and ecological functions in perpetuity, while preserving opportunities for compatible passive recreational use. With that, I recommend approval of Resolution 2026-06, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anybody have any questions? Comments? Good job. Take a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Did you get those? Okay. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Great. Thank you. All right. Moving on. Item number C. This is one that for those of us that are on CBMC, we saw it on Monday. So it'll be a rerun for those of us that were there on that. But it is a really cool project. I don't know if any of you have been following along in the news, but our good friends at MDLT, Mojave Desert Land Trust, have been working hard with the state and other agencies on a couple of wildlife projects on the 62 going up the grade to Yucca Valley. For somebody who lives out there and sees dead bighorn sheep and other things on the road all the time, this is really a cool project. So I'm going to bring up Gary Hund from MDLT to give us a briefing.
Thank you. Chairman Gardner, members of the commission, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. As Gary said, I'm representing Mojave Desert Land Trust, and we recently applied for a grant to the Wildlife Conservation Board for some wildlife crossings. The State Route 62 Wildlife Crossings Planning Project, $5.5 million grant from the WCB that we received in February, and State Wildlife Conservation Board to complete the environmental and engineering work for the wildlife crossings over Highway 62 in two locations, the Morongo Grade and the Yucca Grade. We're coordinating with Caltrans. It requires local agency partners, because we're a nonprofit, to enter into cooperative agreements with Caltrans. So we approached the Coachella Valley Conservation Commission for the Morongo Crossing and the Mojave Desert Resource Conservation District for the Yucca Crossing. The project need, Highway 62 bisects, as I'm sure you know, the San Bernardino and Little San Bernardino Mountains. The Little San Bernardino Mountains are the beautiful backdrop for our entire valley. And what's happened is over time, increased traffic, development, and safety improvements impede wildlife movement across the highway, and in some cases create a complete barrier to wildlife movement. One example is traffic on this road, or I should say attendance to Joshua Tree National Park. Most cars take this route. Has gone from a little over 1 million to 3 million plus visitors a year in about 10 years. So this map shows you the approximate location of the two crossings, and you can see that they will link together the Sandusno National Monument, Joshua Tree National Park, and the lower one, will link two of your conservation areas. So Caltrans commissioned a connectivity study because a number of residents had been reporting a lot of wildlife deaths on the highway. And that study was completed in 2021. And just, you know, in 1 year, they found 232 carcasses observed between October 2019 and November 2020. And that year was during COVID. So there was reduced traffic on the road during a good part of that time. So what the researchers found, the people that did the study, is that on the Morongo and Yucca Graves, where we have the concrete center dividers, there's effectively a complete barrier to wildlife movement. They actually, you know, through camera traps and track stations and other methods, they found that animals were approaching these crossings, but not attempting to cross, and those that did were not fortunate enough to make it across. So they recommended wildlife overcrossings at both locations. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife has a statewide database where they've identified significant barriers to wildlife movement across highways. And this is one of, Brian, this is one of those locations. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife also did a study of connectivity, how well wildlife can move from one area to the other. And where these two crossings are proposed are considered irreplaceable and essential habitat linkages. That's defined as critical areas that facilitate animal movement and ecological connectivity for biodiversity. So species and ecosystem health, if habitat areas become isolated from one another, it can severely harm ecosystems. Highway 62 has isolated the San Bernardino and Little San Bernardino Mountains from each other, effectively creating two giant habitat fragments in an area that historically had a seamless connection other than the dry Moronga Wash running between the mountain ranges. So habitat fragmentation reduces genetic diversity. It also makes it difficult for wildlife to find mates, and that can lead to inbreeding because they end up breeding with like their cousin instead of an animal that from a completely different family, if you will. So mountain lions are really emblematic of this problem. The Eastern Peninsula Range and San Gabriel, San Bernardino Mountains populations that meet in the vicinity of the crossing were listed as threatened on February 12th of this year. The loss of a top predator, such as a mountain lion, can change the relative number of populations of predator and prey in a food chain, and that can lead to a domino effect in the ecosystem of degradation. So wildlife also, this is primarily funded by a climate bond, Prop 4, that was approved by the California voters. And this particular proposed crossings are excellent for climate connectivity and climate refugia. In order to respond to climate change, wildlife must be able to move up in elevation or north in latitude, either short-term or long-term movement. And these particular linkages link a 10,000 foot elevation gradient. You're going from almost low desert to the summit of San Gorgoni Peak. To date, as you know, the MSHCP and CCP has acquired over 100,000 acres. This is protecting your investment because it will keep your ecosystems intact. It includes in your conservation objectives to maintain corridors between the Little San Bernardino and San Bernardino Mountain. We have land ownership, Mojave Desert Land Trust, on the Yucca Grade on either side. We've been envisioning this possibility for years and working on it for many years. And BLM owns the land on either side of the Moronga Grade crossing. And we've already begun to talk to them about obtaining a right of way for these crossings. So thank you very much for your interest in this project and for your willingness to consider entering into an agreement with us to make this a reality. Again, this is the planning part. It'll take about 2.5 to 3 years. It'll bring it to what's considered 65% completion, which is considered just about shovel ready. So it will really help get them constructed once all the planning work is done. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary. We had a similar presentation in CBMC, a bit of a grant to help along with that. This our agenda item today is authorizing the executive director to enter a cooperative agreement. We're not throwing any money at this point in time, just all of us working together on this. Did you bring the slide with the drawings of the crossing?
The rendering of the crossing didn't make it into this presentation because I built it before yours. But it's a beautiful rendering.
It really is. This will be very, very helpful, especially those of us that you've all driven up and down the 62 there in the narrow part, and this will be a really good way to allow the wildlife to get back and forth. Does anybody have any questions for Gary?
We just move staff recommendation.
Second. All right, we have a motion.
I probably should know this. What is NCCP, please?
Oh, Natural Communities Conservation Program. It's the MSHCP is permitted by the federal and the state government.
So it's Natural Communities Conservation Program.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Thank you very much. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that on Monday, the Coachella Valley Mountains Conservancy gave us a $600,000 matching grant. And without that matching grant, we may not have gotten the big grant because we needed to show at least unsecured matching funds. So they played a big role in this.
All right. Thank you, Gary. All right. Item D, update on the Memorandum of Understanding with the Desert Hot Springs Police Department, our pilot project on that. And we're up for renewal on it. A very successful one so far. So this is you, Mr. Lieutenant Saucier, with us there. I'm standing behind it from my police department.
Yeah,
Will is going to do the staff report.
Yeah, so good morning, commissioners. I'm pleased to introduce Lieutenant Saucier, who's here to give us an update on our MOU with the Desert Hot Springs Police Department.
Good morning, Commission. Morning, everybody in the audience. I'm Chris Saucier. I'm a lieutenant with the Desert Hot Springs Police Department. I supervise our Special Operations Division, which includes our off-road and CVCC detail, which, as you know, under the MOU, patrols certain sections of the city that includes the CVCC land. So, since we've started with the CVCC MOU, we've been utilizing the Polaris off-road vehicle that was provided to conduct patrols of the CVCC lands, the majority of which that we're contacting is south and west of West Drive and Two Bunch Palms Trail. Most recently, we've been utilizing our community response team. Chairman Gardner is well-versed in our CRT unit. It's comprised of two officers who are assigned to the Special Operations Division, and their primary focus is the unhoused individuals in our city, as well as any special projects that are assigned through the division for follow-up investigation and things like that. Because of the overflow of some of our unhoused individuals, they wind up in the CVCC area. And during their patrols, they contact people, they offer resources. And with the SWAG, Social Work Action Group, they try to get people housed and try to get treatment and things like that for those people. In recent months, they've contacted, done 20 separate patrol occurrences on CVCC land using the Polaris and their patrol vehicles. They've conducted over a dozen welfare checks on subjects in the area. And when they do welfare checks, sometimes they're checking vehicles that are in the area. Sometimes they're checking people that are on foot walking through the desert. Some of them are just transiting through CVCC lands. Sometimes they're camped out in those areas. So they're trying to mitigate that stuff as best they can when they contact people, and they offer services and essentially check the welfare of people. We also have our drone unit. Our drone unit is staffed by myself and a sergeant, and we fly missions routinely with our unmanned aircraft over the CVCC lands as well as other areas of the city. Sometimes what will happen is we'll get a call for service regarding a suspicious vehicle or people, an incident in the desert, and we will launch our drones and we will overfly those areas and try to identify where the issue is, if there's people involved, and then we can subsequently dispatch a patrol unit to handle that stuff. So our guys, our CRT guys, are typically responding to those calls once our drone, sees somebody in the area that needs some attention or what have you. We also have the ability with our drones to remotely communicate with people. Sometimes in the desert, we'll get calls from missing hikers and things like that, not necessarily on CVCC land, but other areas of the city, and we can fly our drones out, and with the speaker on the drone, we can actually communicate with people that are out in the desert. We can drop bottles of water to people out in the desert, a cell phone if we needed to communicate. And so it's a valuable piece of equipment that we use for all kinds of different things. This just being one of them. With our Polaris UTV that was provided by CVCC, we've been able to conduct consistent patrols of the area and get to areas that we can't access with our patrol vehicles. Our SUVs are great, but once you get into that soft sand, forget it. They get stuck and we have to tow them out. Our Polaris, and Will, I believe, actually was out this morning with our CRT unit. And our Polaris is very valuable for that kind of stuff. It allows us access to a lot of areas that we can't get to. We have actually used it on search and rescue missions with the fire department. They don't readily have one available. And so if they have an injured person or a missing hiker or whatnot, they will sometimes load in the Polaris and we will drive them out to those areas to either look for people or to render aid. More about our drone. We can launch our drones from the back of the Polaris. We can launch them from the station. We can launch them from the back of police cars. And so we will frequently take the drones with us in the Polaris, and then we'll drive out to the CVCC lands, put the drone up, and then we can get an overview of the entire area. And then we can indicate to the other units whether there's areas that need specific attention in those areas. And they have night vision capability as well. More or less just a demonstration of how the drone can be utilized from a moving platform like that. So recent notable incidents. Activity out in these areas is obviously fluid. It's hit and miss. In February of 2026, patrol officers got a call for a stabbing victim in the desert off of West Drive, south of Two Bunch Palms Trail. Officers got there and determined that the stabbing actually occurred in a trailer that was essentially trespassing in that open desert area, which was within the confines of the CVCC. The suspect was taken into custody at that trailer and was booked for several charges. In April, CRT officers were utilizing the Polaris and they located a vehicle in the desert. They did a check to welfare, which is just a frequent occurrence that they do. The driver fled for some unknown reason. Turns out he was wanted on some serious felony charges. He got stuck in the sand, but we didn't because we had the Polaris. And so we were able to get him out of that area and take him into custody. So our mission, obviously, with CVCC and with the assets that we're using is to protect the CVCC lands, try to keep people off of those lands. Will was out there this morning, and I think they encountered some people out there, yeah, or some vehicles.
We came across an encampment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So encampment mitigation is something that Chairman Gardner knows a lot about. We've been working at that hard in all areas of the city. We do ongoing operations to try to mitigate that stuff. As they land in the CVCC areas, our goal is to continue the proactive enforcement of those and get them out of those areas so that they're not continuing to be a hassle. So our hope is to continue this partnership and be able to extend those services and provide the protection for those lands as best we can. I'd open up to any questions if we have any.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Anybody have any questions? This has been a very successful program, and I'd like to see it expand down the road.
Being the city with the most CVCC land in the valley, it's very critical for us, and right. we appreciate it very much that that the commission has worked with and done this MOU with our police department there. It's been very successful, and you can see
how much does it cost us?
$30,000 a year, right? Will, we got
so it depends on the number of patrols that.
Well, what's the budget? I mean, what 30,000? Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's all. That's
cool. Yeah. So in the last year, I think we spent about $11,000 on patrols. It depends on the year and how many patrols actually take place.
And we can, to piggyback on that, we can increase or decrease the number of patrols depending on how many people are involved. We typically won't send a patrol out with less than two officers. So
I understand. I just wanted to know what our budget was, and it's 30,000 or thereabouts. That's fine. That's fine. Thank you.
So
well, plus 62,000 for a truck, and we'll probably need to replace Polaris pretty soon.
Yeah. So
just a couple questions. Thank you for your presentation, and thank sure. you for what you do. Just a clarification, or not clarification, but in the slide previous, when you said you've had 20 responses or evaluations, are those scheduled or are those in response to phone calls or both?
Those are mostly scheduled.
Okay.
Those are mostly CVCC patrols that we schedule with officers, and they're pre-designated patrols for those areas using the Polaris. Sometimes, depending on the weather, we'll use a patrol vehicle. But those are usually pre-scheduled. We do have incidental contacts with people in those areas. And it's harder to narrow down how many patrols we've done of those areas while patrol officers are on duty, because they drive those areas all the time. And it's really hard to track that because they may drive them twice over a 12-hour shift, but they don't log those because they're just transversing through the area. So those are dedicated patrols to the area.
So I know that for myself, the encampments is a huge concern, especially on the land that this commission has purchased and should be private and prohibited anyway. So the scheduling of your patrols, do they allow to keep those encampments under that 30 days before they're allowed any legal rights? Are we able to get them removed from this private property under that period of time, even working with SWAG and whatever it is that you're doing there?
We can. That's going to require the assistance of our code enforcement, though, because they're the ones that initiate the removal of the encampments. And so we would take more of the enforcement stance if the code enforcement goes out there and does their things. And I'm not super well versed in the actual encampment removal process, but our code enforcement people handle that kind of start to finish, and we arrive for the enforcement aspect. So they will set up they'll do the posting of the notices and all those things to get people out of there. And if they refuse to leave, then we'll come and we'll make arrests as needed. And then we can remove vehicles based on that.
Just for my own understanding, you patrol regularly on a scheduled, whatever the schedule may be. When you find something, you notify CVCC as well as code, or you only notify CVCC?
Typically, we notify code first because they're going to be the ones that take the immediate action to post it and to make contact with people and basically advise them to meet all the legal requirements for the removal. So typically, code would be our first call. Sometimes they'll call code and have them respond to that area right then so they can see, or they'll take pictures and send it. Actually, what we're talking about now in a meeting I just had last week is we would like to split the CVCC areas for our purposes into beats, essentially, for patrols, so that when they're patrolling beat one or beat two or beat three, whatever it may be, they can document exactly what's in those areas with photographs and the confines of that particular beat, so that it's easier for documentation for us and for code and for CVCC, so that we can submit all of that and that everybody will know exactly where we're talking about. So I think streamlining it really is more where we need to go. I just took this portion over. I was on patrol before I promoted as a sergeant, and I promoted to lieutenant. So I just kind of took this over. So it's kind of a work in progress. But that's ultimately what I would like to do, is to streamline it so that we can issue everything out to everybody, and so everybody will know exactly what we're talking about.
Anything that keeps everyone on the same page so action happens in the proper timeline? Because I think the graciousness of this committee to have spent what they spent recently in clearing those encampments and what that cost the committee and the commission and every city acting person, we need to make sure that doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. And so it's very concerning to me that we get those encampments immediately, that it's documented, that they're given their notices to remove mm-hmm. immediately on the private property, especially.
Right, agreed.
Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate it.
No problem. In addition, I wanted to bring up too, because I'm not sure where it went, but there was an app at one point that we were using to report issues with the cabling and things like that. And that last time I remember seeing that in use was when I did patrols, you know, a couple of years ago. And so I would like to, and I'm not sure if that would fall on us or if that would be on the commission to figure out either, you know, renewing that system or some other immediate notification that when our guys are out there and they find cable down and they find damage and they find things like that, that they can readily report that. Or even if I just have a point of contact for myself that I can then contact and try to set that up. So that might be something that we can look at.
Well, Lieutenant, we can certainly work
Thank
on that.
Okay. Does this thing have go request? System.
Okay.
We have what?
Do you have a go request app or
yes,
anything
we have
else?
Couldn't
you connect it somehow through go request?
In this case, the cabling in question is CVCC cabling.
Right.
We will make those connections.
Through GIS. So we have a field maps app that has all of our land management database. So that's.
And can any, like we could download it and picture something and it comes through to somebody?
Yes.
At CVAC?
Yes.
What was it called again? Field maps?
It's field maps, yeah. We'll have to get you that information.
Okay.
So no, if I think the program is always evolving, but I think we've got a good system now in place with our CRT team, with the PD. And our CRT team consists of PD, code, and SWAG, the Social Work Action Group. And they go out together and you know, our code is constantly patrolling. I know I get notifications from people that live. Most of my district is CVCC land, and so my own constituents will call and say, we've got an encampment, and they know where the CVCC land is. We go to code. Code does their thing, gets them out of there. If we need to, we call the PD. They get their thing out, and we get it going as fast as we can. In fact, we had one that was reported last a week and a half ago, and it was gone in 2 days. We got them out. So, you know, that was a good
Erica just reminded me, we have an enterprise asset management system that's also being rolled out at the same time at CVCC. We're still in the field testing part of that, but that will also have a see something, say something app that we can use with that.
And then keep in mind, too, we have our Developing Ranger program, which will add additional eyes and ears. And now a truck to go out and do stuff with. Ben, you had
yours. Out of curiosity, the reporting app gives GPS location. You can submit photos. You can do all that kind of things.
On the current field maps, I'm sorry, on the current field maps app, we are able to do that. But it's a very limited amount of, like we could give a login to the police department or we can give a login to our volunteers. So there's a very limited amount of logins. The new EAM system should be able to have anybody log in, take a picture and a GPS point and be able to that. So.
The city of Indio has implemented MyIndio. It's used by a lot of cities in California. We just expanded it. It was mostly just code enforcement related, but it GPS is the location. You can add photos, give a small description. It automatically gives an acknowledgement to the reporter and also gives them an ending of what the end result was. So,
like our Google response.
Yeah, so it's yeah, pretty much the same thing.
All right, any further? And just to manage expectations, we certainly are aware of what the cities do on this. When we have 25,000 acres and two staff people yeah. that part-time work on this, and that's why these cooperative agreements
work out well.
And to the point of getting out early makes great mm-hmm. sense. That's why all these partnerships. We are not handing out our app to everybody because people would fill information and not get a response forever. So bear with us. We are working on Ranger program. We're developing these systems and we're trying to figure out how to pay for all of it, which will be the subject of your next meeting and the budget
meeting. So any further comments, questions? Lieutenant, thank you.
Appreciate it,
Lieutenant.
All right. Well, this is just an information one. There's no vote. So I'm glad it was a great presentation. Now, item E,
guess what? Addressing illegal dump sites. But hey, for those of you who were a little bit annoyed last time, none of them are in Desert Hot Springs. We're going to another end of the valley this time, down there to Frank and Ben's area. So this one is from Erica.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This gets to, as Tom just previewed, finding ways to pay for these efforts. So some of you have seen this presentation on the CVAG side. The recommendation before you is to authorize our executive director to address encampment issues on conservation lands through two partnerships. One's with Riverside County and a state grant, and the second would be an additional partnership with CalRecycle, which, as was just noted, did provide a huge influx of funds for CVCC to make some major headway in and near the city of Desert Hot Springs. So the first part of the recommendation, I should say, relates to the Department of Housing and Community Development, or HCD's, Encampment Resolution Funding Program. This is a statewide program that is part of the governor's efforts to resolve homelessness in its many forms. And Riverside County has been remarkably well poised and good at securing these grants. They've been successful in three rounds of ERF funding. We're now entering the fifth round, so you can see they had a really good rate of return there. They've delivered more than $12 million, for example, to deliver services in the San Jacinto River bottom. And they recently came to CVAG to talk about partnering here in Riverside County's fourth district. They definitely want to try to touch all five county districts, and the fourth is the only one they haven't brought money home to yet. I would note that the city of Palm Springs also has received ERF funds in the past. That's how they're addressing some homelessness in the Tokwitz Creek area. So they did come to CVAG about our CV Housing First program, which many of you are familiar with. That is our efforts to address the chronically homeless in the CV 200. And we said, hey, we know where the encampments are. And we turned to the CVCC side and started talking about our encampments on our lands and the unincorporated areas. We are currently in the process of finalizing an application, which would be due at the end of June, and we're seeking authorization to enter into that partnership. There is no cost to CVCC for this partnership. We would look to leverage staff time and other grants, as probably as part of the grant, but there's no matching funds. And right now, we would be targeting a handful of encampments on CVCC lands, and then also including funding for additional outreach throughout the Coachella Valley. This is some of the pictures that you've seen before. You know that we've certainly faced problems on our lands in terms of cleanup. So the second part of the recommendation is really about, once we address homelessness, how then we clean up the properties as well. CalRecycle did provide a $500,000 grant, which we are wrapping up. And we were so successful that they turned around and said, we have more money. Do you have more land? And we said, yes. So we would like, the second part of the recommendation is to work with CalRecycle. There is some paperwork that would be needed to provide them rights of entry, et cetera, where they could come onto they're going to come do it. Yeah, we like that. Yeah. And so they would come in and spend some of their direct funds. This is not something we would apply for. This is something that they would directly administer through a different pot of funding. Their cleanup activities would then allow us to remove debris and hazardous materials. We would initially focus on areas that don't have active encampments, but ultimately, if we were to secure the state grant, our idea would be that we could clean up the encampments with one pot of funding and then partner with CalRecycle to do the remaining parts. And I, since it was mentioned before, you might remember the original grant did focus on these kind of hotspots in around Desert Hot Springs. And we know that this is a program that works. With that, the recommendation is before you. I'm happy to address any questions.
Happy day. Anybody that wants to give us money and come clean up our desert, I'm going to roll out the red carpet for. So,
really, if they just want to give us money for anything.
Yeah, right?
For anything, don't say no.
Exactly. Never. Exactly. Anybody have any comments, questions? All right. If not, I'll take a motion.
Approval.
Second.
Second.
Motion and a second. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. That's great news. Some information items there are in your packet for you to peruse. Public comments on non-agenda items. Anybody have any public comments that weren't made earlier?
And just to note, we did receive two in writing. One was already addressed verbally earlier. The second from Mr. Harrington, who's expressing concerns regarding statements you've all made in the past. You've got a copy.
Surprise, surprise.
You've got a copy of that before you.
All right. Announcements. Next CBCC meeting will be Thursday, June 11th, 10:30 a.m. right here in this very room. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Look back to our 10:30 time.
Yeah.
Instead of our 11.
Yeah.